Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. 14-year head coach Rick Bowness debuts as the Blue Jackets bench boss tonight as Columbus hosts Calgary just one day after Dean Evason was fired. Coverage of the Fan starts at 6:30. NFL Cleveland has requested to interview Jacksonville offensive coordinator Grant Yudinski per NFL Network's Tom Pelissero. The Browns have already interviewed coordinators Jim Schwartz and Tommy Rees, Mike McDaniel, Todd Monken, Aiden Durdee, and Dan Pitcher. They're also one of five teams to have an extensive phone call with ex-Ravens head coach John Harbaugh. Baseball today, St. Louis is set to trade eight-time All-Star third baseman Nolan Arenado to Arizona in exchange for right-handed pitcher Jack Martinez, sources tell The Athletic. This update is sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free plumbing services when you buy a new water heater. Visit GetEco.com and book today. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome back in, folks, to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice, TLC on the board, doing his thing. And to my right again today, ladies and gentlemen, is the former Buckeye and national champ, Joshua Perry. JP, happy Tuesday, my man. Good to see you again. How are we feeling today? You good?
Feeling pretty good. Always good to see you. Glad to be back here cracking the mics with you.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a good time. But look, we got a lot of stuff to get to in a two-hour show. Blue Jackets making a big-time move yesterday after we left. Dean Evason no longer the head coach. So we will talk to Mark Scheig from the Hockey Writers and the Professional Hockey Writers Association coming up here in about 15 minutes. So Rick Bowness, the new head coach, they just had the press conference over there. We will get a feel on what he wants to bring to the table, some of the changes he wants to make, because he's a guy that's been down this road before. 1:30, our guy Tyvis Powell will stop by to talk all things Browns, Buckeyes, and everything else happening in the world of sports. And then 2:30, Jean-Luc Grandpierre will stop by, former CBJ player himself, great CBJ, current broadcaster as well for the FanDuel Network. He stops by at 2:30 again to talk about kind of the story of the day. So you miss any of that stuff, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you have to do, folks, is type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3, we'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Bet365 sponsors the Rothman and Ice podcast. So, JP, we got out of here yesterday. Find out CBJ are moving on from Dean Evason. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those situations where if you're a Jacket fan, what's frustrating, I think, about this, amongst a bunch of other things, is there hasn't been a model of consistency with this franchise when it comes to who's behind the bench, game in and game out. This franchise in 2000 kicked things off, and now we're talking about, with Rick taking over, the 12th different head coach in franchise's history. And we watched a football team last night in the Pittsburgh Steelers and other franchises around sports have guys that you know are pillars for their franchise. And to me, that brings a level of comfort. It also could send good shockwaves around the league that if you're a free agent, that's a guy that obviously the franchise trusts. Maybe I should trust him as well. And I know what I'm getting from that franchise. For the Blue Jackets right now, that's just been a massive gray area as far as who is going to be the captain of the ship. We know what happened a few years ago with Coach Babcock and how just out of the gate, that didn't obviously work the way that anybody wanted it to work. Pascal Vincent steps in. The win percentage wasn't where it needed to be for a bunch of reasons. And then you hand the keys over to Dean Evason and you can say the same thing. And I think for Coach Dean, one of the things that really was a thorn in his side and everybody's side was the lack of closing out games. The third periods where we've seen the Jackets go into that period, put in some good work through the first two, and they've just allowed teams to crawl back into games and snatch wins away from them. And so the longest tenured coach in this franchise's history is John Tortorella.
Yep.
And John Tortorella was a guy that was a polarizing figure, right? Both for the players, I believe,
yeah,
and the fan base as well. And so there's so much to unpack with this, but that's kind of the first thing that jumped to my mind is the guy that can be one of the faces of the franchise. That's not a player. There's been too much shuffling, I think, around the board when it comes to that. And so that's got to be something that hopefully they can lock in on, because until that happens, then we could unfortunately be talking about these type of results coming around for our Jackets more times than not.
It's an interesting thing, and I was doing some reading about it last night and saw that Columbus has had six coaches now. Rick will be the sixth coach since 2021. Mm. I don't know how you build an organization and continuity and how you coach and develop when you have that much turnover at coach in that short amount of time.
Yeah.
And that's part of the issue there is you have to find some level of consistency. And part of that's identifying the right guy, first and foremost. Like, you know, if it's not the right guy, then you have to make the move. And I totally get that. But secondly, it's, okay, do you give him a little bit more time? Like, he's already there. Like, you have to see some things through. You know, I think for Dean, part of the issue was the way that they finished off last year and had some momentum. Maybe the expectations got a little bit out of whack for how they should have been this year. Competitive East, right? Like, things are maybe a little bit more difficult than they were. That could be a factor in it. What you mentioned with falling apart at the end of games, always going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And players have talked about it. Maybe we're a little bit too simple. Maybe we're not making the aggressive plays. Right. Whatever the case is, there's like a million different issues here. And that points to something larger to me than just the right guy as the head coach.
We talk about in football, right, what you can identify as possibly an issue as far as clock management, not using your timeouts in the right spots. Those are head coaching things that you can identify as
right.
He's got to get that in order because it's hurting the team.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that we just got done talking about was when you have a third period collapse as a trend for your team, people are going to look at you and say, well, why can't you get your guys locked in to finish out these games? Because we've been watching this young core come together now for the last few years. And I think for Jacket fans, there are obviously guys that you can believe in and should believe in as far as where the future goes. But it's about the collective, right?
No,
there's just been too much of kind of being around 500, being in situations to where you're just knocking on the door, but you're falling short. You mentioned last year, I thought Coach Dean and that staff did a pretty good job with what they had to work with and rallying the troops with all the drama and the unfortunate stuff
right.
that was swirling around
right.
the franchise. And so that was just a heavy load on everybody to deal with. And so to fall 2 points shy of the playoffs, I thought was a really good coaching job from them. And so now you mentioned expectations. When you get that close, maybe in the mind of the front office,
right?
And the front office is looking at the core that you have and those guys taking a leap, but also you as a coach showing them that I can get things in order to a certain degree. You turn the page and some of those issues start to pop up in a negative way. Then you may have, you force the front office to go elsewhere. And that's why I think now Rick coming in is the move that we're seeing.
At what point is a little bit more patience a part of the equation here? Because the trend of hiring and firing,
it's not going to get you anywhere.
At some point.
It's really not going to get you anywhere.
You have to see something through.
Correct.
Right? Like, that's a question, too, of just the management style of the organization when it comes to bringing in coaches.
Yeah, and you never know where ownership is playing a factor in this as well.
Sure.
Right? When you have Don Waddell, who is moving the pieces around on the board, we don't know, we haven't heard much from ownership when it comes to their expectations of what they want to see this year and what they've seen over the last couple of years. And so now you have Rick step in, and he's a guy that has gone down this road before. He's taken over a couple franchises in the middle of a season. So I think if you're Don Waddell, you look at that trait that
right.
he brings, and that brings you some confidence as well. He's 70 years old. He's been there, done that. He's seen a lot of hockey, obviously worked with a lot of different players and a lot of different skill sets. And so listening to his press conference before we came in here today, one thing that he really locked in on was playing with more of an edge.
Sure.
Playing with more nastiness and locking in on the defensive side of things, which connects to what we were just talking about, where you can close out games
right.
with that defensive effort and more of an edge, and maybe not playing on your heels a little bit, but playing downhill in those situations to where, while yes, you're trying to protect the lead, you're still applying pressure late in games. And I think that's what he wants to bring to the ice.
I mean, across sports, the idea of protecting a lead, I think, is where you end up losing it, right? And there's, you have to be comfortable still playing your game and being aggressive. I like the word edge, right? Because they've got good players. They've got tough guys, right? Like, it's not like you look and these guys are turning down hits and they're not finishing plays. But that mentality of closing things out with the same level of aggression mm-hmm. that you had for the first two periods, I think that right there is going to be a part of yeah. the bigger mental turnaround than anything else.
For sure. And look, the season is not lost yet.
Right.
And so sometimes we hear in different sports, a new voice come in and you can see that new head coaching bump be applied to that team. Like, we've seen it in just the history of sports, right? Where a certain guy can come in with the same personnel that the previous guy had, and for whatever reason, he can figure it out. So Rick spoke to that as well, is that he sees a pathway to where he can take this team down a different lane and get them to more of a successful route. We shall see. Look, it sounds like a lot of people like what they heard from him from the presser. You look at his history with Dallas Stars in 2020, Stanley Cup final. You look at Winnipeg, back-to-back playoff appearances over the last few years ago as well. And so this guy knows what it takes to get a team in order and get them to the postseason. It's just about, one, getting the guys healthy, right? You've been dealing with that. Everybody's going to deal with that in this sport. It's an aggressive sport, as we know. But also, I just think the key for me is getting the young core of guys to higher heights, right? Because that's what this is about.
Yeah.
For a franchise that really doesn't play at the highest level of money when it comes to big splash free agents and all that.
Right.
They got to build this thing in-house. And I think they've done a pretty good job drafting. But now it's about the developing and meshing well with some of the vets that we know are constant playmakers as well.
Yeah, I mean, and the interesting question there is a 70-year-old coach dialing in and connecting with younger players, right? And you mentioned the track record. The history's there. So that's not the part to question. But,
yeah.
you know, it does linger in your mind about, can you reach them?
Mm-hmm.
Can you get That's them real. Where they need to be?
Yeah.
Because your mentality is probably a little bit different than these young dudes right now.
Correct. And he touched on in the presser how he's even got to check himself sometimes because his emotions
yep.
can run hot. And my mind went to Torts because Torts was that type of guy. And some of these guys knew about Torts and played under Torts and all of that. And I know some of these guys really liked playing for Torts. But sometimes, especially when you're a younger guy,
yep.
I don't know how well that plays with this new era of athletes. So that'll be interesting to see how he can control that, because that's something he self-admitted today, said, I have to make sure I focus on that because I can run hot as a coach. And you know, sometimes as a former player, that all the time can wear on you throughout practices and games when you're seeing that and hearing that 24/7.
It's good he's got the awareness of it, though.
Yes.
Right? Like, you have to have that piece of self-awareness so you can try to police yourself when you feel like it's getting there.
And that's the beauty of where he is right now as far as how much history he has in this sport. Because when you spend that much time on task, you learn from some of your mistakes, you learn from the positives, you just learn from everything, and it sounds like he's locked in on that. Mark Scheig, Hockey Reporters, joins us next to talk about the new hire, Dean Evanson, being removed from his position and what is next for this franchise moving forward. We're Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. There's no place...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
This is Corey Sickles.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Comet Man has hosted shows with radio royalty, Spielman, Tor, T-Bone, just to name a few. So listen to his new show with Timmy Hall. If man can pull this one off, he's a miracle worker. Comet Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Slight chance of showers as we go into the day, otherwise increasing clouds and highs in the upper 40s with breezy winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy with stray showers overnight, and breezy winds continue with lows into the upper 30s. And then for Wednesday, we hit our high into the low 40s earlier in the day with chances of rain and snow throughout the day and very strong winds with gusts upwards of 30 miles per hour. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Anthony once ran the table on the World 9-Ball Champion. Coincidentally, Maddie is out looking for a Magic 8-Ball. Signs point to, this is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. We're going to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline right now. Bring on Mark Schock. Does an awesome job covering the CBJ at the Hockey Writers. Also, part of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. Mark, how we doing, my man? Thanks so much for your time.
I'm doing well, guys. Always appreciate joining in.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's start with Coach Dean Evason and your understanding as to why Don Waddell and the decision makers felt like this was the appropriate time to go away from him.
At the end of the day, guys, it was growing frustration. I mean, anybody that's watched the Blue Jackets for any amount of time, they said in the preseason that they expected the playoffs. They sat in last place comfortably in the Eastern Conference. And then all the blown leads, all the different times, they lost 9 points just because of blown third period leads. So if they held on to those, we'd be talking about a team fighting for the playoffs rather than a team that was in last place. And just the growing frustration, not meeting expectations. Don had to make a decision to move on, and also the timing as well. You know, I think some of us thought that something could happen at the Olympic break, maybe a little bit later. But they just saw the overall situation, said that they needed a new voice right away, and he pulled the trigger on it.
So the Jackets bring in 70-year-old Rick Bonus, and he's a guy who's done this before, stepped in midseason. The track record certainly is there. What should the expectation be in the short term to finish up the season for the Jackets?
That's a great question, because he signed through the end of the season. There's only 37 games left to try and make an impact as quickly as possible. Expectations-wise, though, anyone that's watched Bonus, especially with his time with the Dallas Stars, took them to the Stanley Cup Final, and then his time in Winnipeg, where he ended up winning Coach Year One, a President's Trophy out there. He's all about defense, and if there's one area that the Blue Jackets have just struggled mightily in, not just this season, but in past seasons as well, it's been defensively, it's been on the penalty kill. So that's going to be one area of focus where he's going to expect everybody to buy in. He said today and during his press conference that every shift out there is important. And so a renewed focus in their own zone is going to be the big thing to watch for in the early going. And then, more importantly, being able to get to know the guys. He said he doesn't really know a lot of the guys so far, so he has to try to do whatever he can to communicate with them, meet with them, get to know them in such a short period of time, because they're still trying to make something out of the season, and they believe that they can do that. So whatever he's able to do to get the best out of the defense and then get to know the guys, that's what fans should be looking for at the start.
Mark Schaik joining us here on The Fan, CBJ writer over at The Hockey Writers. Mark is listening to the press conference, and you were in the room for that, and I think he mentioned the word nastiness a couple times. And we know a guy like Olivier brings that to the table. He's an enforcer, no doubt. But do you think that his vision pairs well with what's currently on the roster and wanting those guys to play with more of an edge?
Yeah, I do think that there is a match there. The Blue Jackets seem to be really good when they're emotionally invested. And you just said Matthew Olivier's name. I talked to Erica Branson today, who's been out most of the season. He said he's close to coming back. That's another player that the Blue Jackets have missed that fits that criteria of emotion, of nastiness. I think the one thing that the Blue Jackets have really lacked this season is just an identity. I think we're all trying to figure out, what is this team really? You knew that there was some offensive talent there, but they're underperforming. But when push came to shove, especially with all the blown leads and everything else going on, we really couldn't figure out what they were. Well, Bonus is going to come in and try to establish an identity with this team. And I think it starts with that emotion. It starts with that nastiness. It starts with being a physical presence in games to help drag everybody into the game. I think a lot of nights that was missing. I think that's a good fit for this team at this point in time.
You know, you mentioned that Bonus is only signed through the end of the season here, and I'm just thinking big picture for the Blue Jackets. There's been a lot of turnover with the head coach. They're, you know, trying to really figure out the best way forward. Like, big picture, long term, what do you think are the biggest changes that the Jackets should make moving forward?
Such a good question, because you're right. There's 37 games left, and they said that they're going to reevaluate everything. So I think long-term, that's what Don Waddell is going to have to figure out, is what is this team? Who's part of this future? Well, Zach Werenski obviously is a great player, done a lot of good things for the Blue Jackets. He's going to be up in a couple of years, so I think that there's a dynamic there where they want to establish themselves as a team that can not only compete for the playoffs, but consistently get into them. So I think the rest of the season is going to be spent on who's part of the solution here and who might not be. And there's going to be a lot of evaluation going on. Waddell said when they released the news about Everson that they were going to evaluate. Everybody's under evaluation. It almost feels like that nobody's safe. So these 37 games, we're going to really find out who steps up under this new coach and who might be part of this future. And Waddell has to figure out, you know, who's going to be here.
So another part of the news that came out yesterday was not only Dean Evason being relieved of his duties, but also assistant coach Steve McCarthy. So touch on that, Mark, but kind of a two-parter here as far as like the domino effect of what that's going to do to the staff and the roles certain guys are going to have to play now.
Yeah, and you know, McCarthy's been in charge of the defense, and I know that that's been a little bit of a sore subject for the fans. Been on the team for a decade, you know, as a player, and in the last 5 years as an assistant coach. But when you look at the defensive numbers, I think when the team looked at it, they looked at not only the goals against, they looked at the shots against, they looked at the quality chances against, and they were just all, it didn't look good at all. So they looked at it, they saw that McCarthy was the one that was primarily, every coach is involved in some way, but he was the main one in that respect. So moving on from him does have that domino effect, like you said. And they said during the conference today, Mike Haviland is one of the coaches that are still on the staff. He's going to get more involved in that aspect of the game than any decisions about future coaches will come later. So it's very clear after this press conference today that defense is going to be a top priority. That's the way that Bonus coaches, and that's what they're going to try to do to, you know, limit all those things that have been bad for so many years for this team.
You know, Mark, you said it. Matty Ice and I were talking about it. But, you know, the games feel like they've certainly been close enough. But do you think it's as simple as making some tweaks and adjustments and this thing is back on track? Or do you think it's a bigger challenge than just that?
I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you, because you look at the Blue Jackets this year, I'm actually surprised that they're hockey 500, 19-19-7 going into tonight's game. There's some things that they're doing well, and I think that has to be called out. They're actually one of the best first period teams in the NHL when you look at the goal differential, but it's the rest of the game that's lagged behind, especially in the third period, that's turned everything into negative. So I think it's a combination of Bonus is going to bring a little better structure into play, but then also it's on the players, and they've said that too. You know, players have made a lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers end up in the back of their net. So not only do they have to embrace whatever Bonus is putting in, they have to be mentally ready in order to really get the best out of this. So, you know, the better they can do with both of those aspects, the better off that they will be. But it will be a challenge with only so many games to go.
Mark, let's get your opinion on what's been happening in net with Jet and Elvis and what the new head coach is now talking about as far as his plan, wanting to move forward with both those guys. Jet having a nice season. I know Elvis has been sprinkled in here or there, but Jet's played the most games between the two. So your thoughts on the productivity in net so far and what Rick Bonus's plan is now moving forward with both those guys?
Well, he really didn't address that during this press conference, so we'll see over time. We're expecting Jet Greaves to start tonight against Calgary, but Jet's earned a majority of the starts. If you look at the numbers, for a large part of the season, he's actually been one of the best goaltenders in the entire league in terms of the stat called goal save above expected. For a while, he was fifth in the NHL with the only four guys above him, guys that would be considered for the Vezina Trophy for the best goaltender in the NHL, guys like Igor Shesterkin and Ilya Sorokin, just to name a few, Logan Thompson in Washington. He's deserved the starts. He's kept them in games. The reason I think that they're even 500 at this point is because of his performance. He just never got the goal support offensively. There's another aspect of Evason is the offense went down. So I think Evason really rode him, and Elvis had that really bad stretch that kind of essentially landed him on the bench, and he just got back in against Colorado, and I actually didn't think he played all that bad. He thought he was actually pretty good given the circumstances. But today they did address that they feel like both goaltenders are good. We'll see if it's going to be more of an even split. And maybe if the defensive structure is what they say is going to change, maybe that'll help benefit both goaltenders moving forward here.
We'll get you out of here on this one. Calgary in the house tonight. Your thoughts on this matchup and, you know, the things that the CBJ need to accomplish if they're going to take out the Flames?
They just need to do what they did in Utah. And anybody who watched that game, that's kind of the standard that they play with, or they were engaged. They didn't make any big mistakes. They were opportunistic with their opportunities. And I think especially with a new coach coming in, there's an element of keeping it simple, but then there's also an element of just continuing what they started with. And even with the Colorado game, they held, you know, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Martin Nichestin, no points. Their depth end up being as they did a good job there, carried it over to Utah. They just have to carry that consistency over, and maybe they'll get a little bit of energy from the new coach and a fresh voice. Just lean on what they know. They're good enough to do it. They certainly have the skill to do it. It's just a matter of going out and executing it now.
It's well said. Mark, we really appreciate your time on a very, very busy day and looking forward to catching up with you down the road. Thanks again for your time. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Mark Shy from The Hockey Writer joining us here on The Fan via the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Coming up in 2 minutes, the Browns. They've been talking to a lot of different candidates up there in the land trying to follow the Kevin Stefanski era. Which one does Tyvis Powell like the most? We will pick his brain on that next. We're Rothman and Ice right now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Breaking Down the Browns with Tyvis Powell.
Welcome back in. Joshua Perry in the building today for AR. Going back to the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline to bring on the people's champ, Tyvus Powell. T, one half of Tybone and Tyvus.
I like this name better.
Yeah, Tyvus.
Tybone and Tyvus.
What's up, T? How you doing today, man?
You know, you guys have interrupted my set again. 255.
This is what he does every week now, JP. He does a live workout while he does an interview. Would you qualify this as professional?
You said 255 on the bench for how many reps?
I just did 8.
No, you didn't.
Why would I lie about
Send me a video.
I don't have nobody to hold the camera.
You can prop the camera up.
Yeah, you can prop it up.
I will try to prop it up for you for my next shirt.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to that. So
What you got to know is I have chains on. The chains is for 30. It's 35 a piece. So that's 70. So I got 185 plus the chains, which is makes it 255.
Where do you get the workout in?
This is in. So I do the Cleveland show right next door. They got a weight room, so I'm in the weight room.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Speaking of Cleveland, Brownies are interviewing a whole bunch of people right now. Has there been one guy, Tyvus, that you've looked at and said, that's the one? Has he already been in the building?
No, but I mean, to me, when you look at the guys that they brought in the building, first of all, listen, hold on, Matty. We got to break down a couple of things. One, I keep making this point. The Browns is not an attractive destination. There are 8 openings. I would argue that the Browns are the 8th best open, right? So with that being said, a lot of people want a coach that has some head coaching experience before, right? Well, if you look at the list of guys that they brought in, it's only 2, Jim Schwartz, Mike McDaniel. Those are the only 2 guys that have had that opportunity to have been a head coach before. Now, when you look at Cleveland, they say that head coaches get 2 opportunities to be a head coach before you realize that there's no more opportunities left. With that being said, I don't think Mike McDaniel wants to spend his second opportunity in the Cleveland Browns. The only one that would do that is Jim Schwartz. He's 60 years old, so that means the chances are getting very slim. And the Browns have made it emphatically clear that they want Jim Schwartz, whoever they get as a head coach, to retain Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator. You cannot go out, hire somebody, and dictate who his staff is going to be. If you feel that strongly about Jim Schwartz, which I will argue, in the whole 6 years of Kevin Stefanski, the hiring of Jim Schwartz was the biggest impact on the Cleveland Browns. If you love him and value him that much, just make him the head coach.
Are you saying that would be your guy? Like, if the Cleveland Browns decided that they were going to go with Schwartz, would you feel like that was a good hire for them into the future?
I just feel like right now where the Browns are, it's really no good place. I will say that he can do a lot. He's already gotten the minds of these guys. Like I said, 2 years ago when he first got here, or 3 years ago when he first got to Cleveland, he took the Browns team, and it was supposed to just be a defensive thing, but he impacted the entire team. The Browns took the fight to everybody, and that's what made them have this magical season. You know, when people seen the Cleveland Browns, they was like, well, it's just the Browns. We'll go out there and beat them and whatever. But 3 years ago when Joe Flacco was here, and that year, that season, they took the fight to everybody. If you remember, they went up against San Francisco and almost got into a fight with the 49ers before the game. He brought that swag, that confidence in this team. And he's had the most production with this team. So I feel like his voice resonates with the team. So therefore, I think he could do some good. However, if you're going to go with Jim Schwartz, you better get a really good offensive mind as an offensive coordinator.
The People's Champ, Tyvus Powell, joining us here on the Fan, one half of T-Bone and Tyvus. Make sure you're listening to that every morning right here on the Fan. Tyvus, let's live in a world to where Mike McDaniel is named, let's say, the offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. Do you think that his offensive play calling and his offense as a whole would mesh well with any of the quarterbacks currently on the Browns roster?
So I think Mike McDaniels is a really good offensive play caller. Now, Mike McDaniels was my OC when I was with the San Francisco 49ers. Granted, he did not call the plays Kyle Shanahan did, but he runs that same offense that Kyle Shanahan runs. With that being said, he likes to tell his quarterbacks to throw it to a spot. I don't think that fits Shedeur Sanders. I also don't think that fits Deshaun Watkins. I do think it fits Dylan Gabriel. I think he would be successful in it. So I don't necessarily think he would be a perfect fit. You know, if you're going back to that Kyle Shanahan offense, I mean, Kevin Stefanski ran a form of that not last year. Obviously, he gave up the play call, and things have changed since Deshaun Watson has come to this roster. But when they were successful offensively, it was a lot of that under center zone read, play action, hit the boot, hit the bang gates, those things. That's when the Browns were successful. So I think that they could go back to it. I don't think the quarterbacks on this roster fits exactly what Mike McDaniel is looking for. But then again, he made Tua look good, and he got him paid. So therefore, it could work.
All right, Ty, let's look a little bit further out at the NFL draft. Cleveland is picking at 6. Are you one of the people who thinks that they should go offensive line? Are you thinking wide receiver? Who's a player that you like at the 6 overall pick?
So I think a couple weeks ago, I was all on get the wide receiver. You got Jordan Tyson, you got Carnell Tate, Mekhi Lemon. You got all these guys that'll be there around 6. But you look at this draft, there are about 7 or 8 wide receivers in this draft that can come in and make a significant impact to your team. There are not a lot of offensive tackles in this draft. There might be maybe 3 of them that's worth anything in this draft. So if the Browns are picking 6, they have to go get the offensive tackle with that pick at 6. At 24, we can address the wide receiver. But I think at 6, because it's so thin at how good these offensive linemen is, particularly the tackles, I think you have to swing for the tackle at 6.
So if they do go wide receiver at 24, T, would you want to double down with another young wide receiver at some point in the draft, or maybe go into the free agent pool and put a veteran in that room? And like some of the names that could be available via free agency, Mike Evans, Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Marquise Brown, Rashid Shaheed, like any of those guys, would you want to add to that room with a vet, or would you want to just continue to build it out with young guys via the draft?
I think you need another vet in that room, because your vet right now would be Jerry Jeudy. And I don't know how highly regarded he is to a lot of people. And then outside of that, you're looking at Isaiah Bond and young guy, or Cedric Tillman. Like, those are names that's not really going to move the needle. Like, if I'm a rookie coming in, why would I listen to any of those guys? You know what I'm saying? I think you got to get somebody with a little clout that's experienced some winning in this league at some point. So I think you might want to go out and get some of those veterans. The problem is, some of those veterans that you named, it's kind of old. Like, Mike Evans is climbing up there. Deebo Samuel is not quite what he once was. Shaheed is like, he's good, but he's still a young guy. I don't know how he fits into the offense, those things like that. So that's my big thing. I tell you what, we was talking about it on the show. How would you feel if they traded the 24th pick that they got from Jacksonville, sent it back to Jacksonville for Brian Thomas Jr.?
I like that bet. I would like that bet.
That to me is the better approach. Go ahead.
They would never do that. Jacksonville would never do that.
They wouldn't.
Because why would they? But why would they? It makes no sense. But it would be a thought.
I think the challenge in trying to bring in a vet, though, is like, if I'm being courted by Cleveland, who the hell is throwing me the ball is the biggest question I would ask. Hey, Ty, I wanted to flip it over to Ohio State real quick, because I keep seeing online people are talking about this offseason and the NIL thing and transfer portal is one thing. The other talking line has been about the offensive coordinator. Who is Ohio State going to bring in? Who should they target? I am not convinced that they're actually going to bring in a play caller for Ryan Day. What is your read on the situation?
I've been saying that. I said Ryan Day, when he went out there in that game against Miami and called them plays and he schemed some of that stuff and it was wide open and it just didn't get off, he thought to himself, I still got this.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I think that when you hire the wide receiver, because there's not a lot of spots available, I think that they are like at the point, almost at the max point of bringing in a guy. If you bring in an offensive coordinator, I think they said something like he can't go recruit or something like that.
They got 10 recruiting coaches already. Yes.
Exactly. So if that's the case, you got a play caller that's here anyway. So he's had some success here. I think he really enjoyed it. I think that he might decide to take it back again and become the play caller again. That, to me, I know a lot of fans wouldn't like that because a lot of people are mixed emotions about him as a play caller. But I think that when Ryan Day is in his bag, and if you go back and watch that game, it is a lot of players that he's skiing wide open. Yep. Hopefully they fix that offensive line. You know, obviously if Chris Henry Jr. comes in and does really well on that outside, opposite of JJ, and Brandon Ennis can, you know, find another gear to hit, I think that he can be fine as a play caller and as a head coach.
We'll get you out of here on this one. You touched on Chris Henry Jr. Are we at a point to where maybe you feel like there's going to be a little bit too much pressure on him right away to deliver?
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, for any wide receiver that's ranked number one or that's a top five player in the country, there's automatically going to be pressure on them no matter where they go. I think that Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams, and DeCorian Moore, those three wide receivers specifically, was ranked top of their classes at some point. They came in as a true freshman and delivered right away. That is the new expectation for them. It's very unfair. Trust me, it's unfair. But that is the new bar for these freshman wide receivers, because you can't say it hasn't been done when we just watched it for 2 years.
Right.
The number one receiver come in and have an immediate impact on the team. So that's what Chris Henry Jr. expected to do.
And to your point, we're getting ready to watch another freshman on Monday night play against Indiana, yeah. Malachi Toney, who's yeah. still supposed to be in high school, yeah. who's balling
it's,
out.
It's the Cignetti effect. We got out of control expectations from dudes coming in and hitting right away yeah. when that typically doesn't happen.
Yep. T, as always, yeah. we appreciate you, man, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good day.
Go Bucks. Go Cavs. I don't know what they got going on. They need to fix it real fast. Go Guardians. Go Browns. Free Classe till it's back.
There he is, Tyvus Powell, the People's Champ. One half of T-Bone and Tyvus. Again, make sure you're locking in with those guys every morning. They're doing a great job.
I love that dude.
How can you not?
He's my guy.
How can you not? We all love some Tyvus Powell. JP, the portal is popping, as I've been saying here yeah. recently, and some guys coming in from Tuscaloosa to help out the defense. We'll lock in on that next in our Buckeye Bulletin. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Have a good day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Only.
Start your morning knowing anything is possible, because if these guys are hosting a radio show, imagine the possibilities. T-Bone and Tyvus.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
Your home for football, food, and fun.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Weston Air Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free from windownation.com.
All right, let's knock out a Buckeye Bulletin. Joshua Perry in the house today. Yesterday, JP, in a Buckeye Bulletin, we had some help was on the way in the secondary for the Ohio State defense.
Yes.
Today, we come in, and it looks like some guys down there in the trenches are here to help out Ohio State, Coach Day, and everybody in Buckeye Nation. So, let's start with Quay Russo, because he is a He's a five-star, former five-star recruit, played at Alabama. He now comes in with a couple years left of eligibility. And so you always love, I think, the idea of tapping into a guy's potential and what he can be. We know the track record that Larry Johnson has as far as developing defensive linemen, and he's also a guy that's looking around and saying there's opportunity to be had, right? When you look at some of the guys that are no longer here, and maybe his positioning as far as a guy that's now going to be a redshirt junior and being around the block just a little bit. 14 tackles last year, one sack in nine games. for Quay, JP, so he comes in as an added boost in that edge room.
Yeah, and he's a guy who's kind of done that hybrid thing throughout his career. He can rush, so drop him out into coverage. You know, he's got really good skills when he's playing in space. So I think a positive, and a player that would fit a Matt Patricia-style defense because of some of that versatility, which I do think is important. Now, when I look at the Alabama guys that came in, I think it solves a skill issue 100% of the way. These Alabama dudes ain't the same as the Nick Saban guys. So there's that edge that I'm hoping that they can bring too from the old school Alabama.
Yes, because when you watched Nick Saban's teams, and even when Kirby first got to Georgia, there was just a fire that you could feel that those guys were playing with that they wanted to knock your head off the shoulders.
That's
what they wanted to do.
If I'm not making plays, I'm not eating.
Correct. That's what you seen the meme from Michael Irvin where he talks about running the slant.
Yeah.
Going that slant, we're going back to the
hood. Going back to the ghetto.
But that's the mentality that these guys hopefully can bring. And last time, Coach Day tapped into the portal and grabbed a couple guys from Alabama. That's worked out really well in the form of Caleb Downs and Julian Sand. Now, to your point, those were Saban guys that he recruited.
Right.
But the return of investment with those guys has paid off for them.
And anytime you can get blue chip type guys, I think it's a positive, right? Like, you want to work with that level of skill. I know people are looking at maybe Indiana and some of these, like, oh, veteran, whatever. Like having blue chip guys does matter. Mm-hmm. Now, what they did with the secondary is where you do get more veteran and more experience. And it's difficult replacing a guy like Caleb Downs, right? One of a kind player. We talked about it after the show yesterday. He's different.
Yes.
But when you can bring in experience, especially in the back end, and guys who've seen a lot of football, and they're not going to get fooled, and they won't be out of place a ton.
Yeah.
That's where you can start saying, okay, we have a better confidence
than
when we get to the postseason, we're making plays.
And I think, JP, too, before we get to the next portal edition, this speaks to, I think, kind of the word on the street that these guys are hearing about Matt Patricia being around.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to imagine there was programs looking at Matt Patricia and saying, you know, let's try to get that guy. But the fact that they're committing in this way, kind of in waves, the defensive guys, to me speaks to those guys have confidence that Patricia is not only going to be back for this year, but maybe for the next few years.
And that's the thing about Patricia is, and this is not coming from him, I don't know him very well, but everybody who I've talked to about him, he loves being here.
Yes.
And he really enjoyed being able to coach college players, a different challenge for him. The NFL is always going to be out there for a guy like that. He's like, you have to consider it. But he's happy here,
right?
Like, there's nothing here that would be pushing him away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big positive.
And when you look at what his expertise is, the fact that he can come into that building every day and lock in on his bread and butter, that has to be just such an energetic feeling.
Oh, for sure.
Day in and day out. The other portal addition from Alabama is James Smith. And depending on what publication you looked at 24/7, they labeled this guy as the number one interior defensive lineman in the transfer portal. So Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, Missouri, some of the other programs that were in on James Smith. And so this is one of those guys that can now follow what Tyleek Williams did and follow what Caden McDonald has done. Caden McDonald winning, you know, Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year. Tyleek turning himself into a first-round pick just a couple years ago. And so I'm sure he's looking at those guys and what they've been able to do within this defense being coached up by Coach Patricia and Larry Johnson and thinking, I go up to Columbus, there's a chance that I could be the next guy to pop off in the interior of their defensive line.
No doubt. And the athletic profile, once again, is there. He was productive. And people have to understand, the game of football, the way it's being played right now, guys who can rush from the interior and play great run support from the interior, that's becoming a premium position for defenses. So he's active in the backfield. He can pass rush. Yep. You have all those different things. And frankly, it was a position of need. By the end of this season, I think there was a question within the Woody about the depth on that defensive line. And part of why they operated slower on offense was because they didn't want to tire those big dudes out up front by going too fast and not letting them be able to rest on the sideline. when you can bring in impact players and build depth at that position, now you're cooking on both sides because it helps the offense be able to go a little bit faster.
It's a great point, and it's something that Larry Johnson identified as soon as he got here, right, is wanting to have a couple levels of defensive linemen to go to. We just got done talking about Saban and Kirby Smart and what they were able to build. Now, that was the pre-portal era.
Where you could stockpile.
Right, you could keep the Jordan Davises around and those guys around, so it's a tougher challenge now, but you're so right. And so Smith comes in as a senior. Veteran guy, 6'3", almost 300 pounds. Last year, 28 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 6.5 tackles for a loss there. And so they've done, I think, between John Walker now and Smith now, and you bring in Rousseau as well. Like, now you're looking at that defensive line room, and these aren't guys, I think that these are guys that can pair well with some of the youth that you have too. And so maybe that's how you can now build out the depth in the portal era, is to have the best of both worlds.
Right. And you had Edrick Houston, right? Will Smith Jr. as well. And the idea for these guys is, I don't think any of them want to step into a game and have to play 60 reps, getting beat up on the interior of the line. Roll them through.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody's happy because they're getting their reps. Now you're fresh as a defense. Like, I like the approach of how they're building with personnel here. So they can operate at a high level up front.
No doubt. That is today's Buckeye Bulletin. Coming up, top of the hour, after an update, we've got the deep dive. We will get into last night's playoff game over there in Pittsburgh, what we think is next for Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. And then bottom of the hour, 2:30, we'll go back over to Nationwide and talk to Jean-Luc Grandpierre about what's going on with the CBJ and their new head coach after moving on from Dean Evason. We're Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
Enjoy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. 45 games into the year, the Blue Jackets fired head coach Dean Evason and hired Rick Bowness as their next head coach. CBJ President Don Waddell and why he made the move now.
Critical point of our season with 12 games, I believe, before the break, before we go on the Olympic break, I think 8 at home. And that's why we felt that if we're going to do something, now is the time to do it.
Bowness and the Jackets host the Flames from Nationwide Arena tonight. Coverage of the Fan starts at 6:30. Baseball, the Cardinals dealt 10-time Gold Glove third baseman Nolan Arenado to the Diamondbacks for right-hander Jack Martinez in cash. Guardians signed 5-year big league outfielder Carter Kieboom to a minor league deal. This update sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling, together to serve you better. Schedule today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Welcome back in, folks. Joshua Perry in the building today for AR. Bottom of the hour, we'll lock back in on the Blue Jackets with Jean-Luc Grandpierre. He'll give us his take on the decision to move on from Dean Evason. And to now hire Rick Bowness, he will be behind the bench at least for the rest of this season. Fellas, first round of the playoffs is in the books last night over there in Pittsburgh. Final score 30-6. I'll say this. You and I were texting throughout this game. And sometimes we like to say, JP, that the moment was a little too big for guys. I kind of felt that way about CJ throughout the game.
It wasn't a kind of for me.
He could not get out of his own way.
He made bad plays worse.
I mean, the fumbles, the missed throws. You could see it in his eyes that he was a little shook. Now, they won the game.
Right.
Now, that's all that matters. But the former Buckeye, number 7 for Houston, he did not help his team out yesterday. And I thought D'Amico Ryans was going to lose his mind on the sideline watching his quarterback crumble the way that he was. I was shocked to see that from CJ to that level.
The flea flicker turned into a sack fumble, right? Like, it was not a very well-executed play. Throw the ball away.
Yeah.
Right? The bad snap into a sack fumble, throw the ball away. The going through the progression, you look to the wrong side of the field, is perfectly fine. You try to throw late, throw the ball away. Mm-hmm. Like, these are plays that were already bad to begin with, and you just compounded them and made them worse. But it didn't matter, because that Texans defense is exactly as advertised. And by the way, right, like, Pittsburgh got some issues on offense.
Yeah.
And they got an old quarterback who probably should hang it up at this point, and they got some reconstructing to do on that side of the football. But that defense, just play after play, it was aggressive, it was violent. They were flying when Pittsburgh couldn't throw it on the field. Those dudes were flying and making hits. And when you have that kind of a defense, I guess you can just make bad plays worse on offense.
It has to be the dream for a defensive play caller to have the dudes that D'Amico Ryans has, because he's got the defensive dogs up front that hunt.
Bro, Will Anderson?
Oh, my goodness. And Danielle Hunter, I think, has been one of the most slept on pass rushers in the sport his entire time in the league.
His whole career, going back
to Minnesota to now.
Yep.
Go look at his stats year in and year out. Highly productive. So it's those two guys up front, and then it's that back end of the defense that they have been building over the last few years via the draft. Stingley, Petrie, Lassiter. And like you said, we talked about earlier how you could feel certain, like, you could just feel it from defenses through your TV screen. Those guys were flying around with so much confidence, and that's why their defense has been lights out all year.
I mean, you mentioned the dogs up front, but a secondary that will come up and hit somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a Steelers fan. I guess we can ask TLC, but, like, Steelers have a good defense. I'm used to seeing the Steelers defensive backs coming up there and trying to knock people's heads off.
You know what surprised me, too, was just how the Steelers defense was just getting gashed on the ground.
They were.
I mean, it just felt like Woody Marks, Nick Chubb, that offensive line, whenever they wanted to get to 4 to 5 yards a pop, they could. Now, Houston finishes the game averaging around 5.5, but that, to me, was eye-opening, is that you could just feel when the offensive staff for Houston wanted to calm CJ down, they could go to that. And I think that really worked out in their favor, because if Pittsburgh throws up a brick wall and they can't run the way that they ran it yesterday, I think that could have got dicier for the Houston offense, because CJ just didn't have it yesterday.
Wasn't going to find it.
He wasn't going to have it.
So let me ask you this question, because it's the thing that everybody's tossing around. They said that it would be Mike Tomlin's decision. But what the hell do you do? Because I feel like you're at this point, and people will say, you made it to the playoffs, you don't have losing seasons, like, you can't. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
Well,
the other thing is you got the quarterback too.
I'm glad that you brought this up, because you just spoke this into existence. Literally, breaking news, as you were talking about Mike Tomlin, Adam Schefter is reporting after a historic 19-season run in Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin just informed his team that he is stepping down as the Steelers head coach. Sources tell me and Jeremy Fowler. The Steelers will now be looking for only their fourth head coach since 1969. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's crazy that you were just talking about him seconds ago. Mike Tomlin is stepping down in Pittsburgh.
Had to be done.
Wow.
So I keep going back to this. People who heard me on this station over the last couple of weeks have heard this take. I had this take about Dabo Swinney during the college football season. I had this take about James Franklin, and they ended up firing him. But it's all the same thing. When you're in a place for a certain amount of time, sometimes you just need to go somewhere else. Like, sometimes it's just time.
Yeah.
All things come to an end.
I'm shocked by this, and here's why. Because he's making the call.
You know,
so, but is he, though?
There's probably a conversation.
That's what I'm getting at, JP, because I think you're right. That sometimes when front offices have the respect for head coaches the way that I believe that the Rooneys do, I think they can give guys the power to throw out whatever phrasing they want to throw out. And it was kind of like,
we don't want to have to fire
correct.
You.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the behind the scenes conversation that happened. So there is the breaking news. So Mike Tomlin is stepping down as the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. So now you're looking at the Baltimore Ravens, the Cleveland Browns, and the Pittsburgh Steelers all looking for
Bengals
a new head coach.
Probably should be in the mix.
And the Bengals are like, we're good. We got Duke Tobin. We got Zach Taylor. We're rocking out with these guys. Zach Taylor's got a couple years left on his deal, JP. I would have been surprised if the Bengals would have paid him to not be their head coach. So we shall see if he's the guy here in a couple years. But here's the breaking news now. And so now Pittsburgh, to me, is going to have two massive holes to fill. Because obviously now we know about Mike Tomlin stepping down. And my gut is telling me that Aaron Rodgers is going to go elsewhere. He's going to retire. I don't think he would want to come back to Pittsburgh, especially without Mike Tomlin there.
If I were the new coach, I don't think I'd want Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think you want to be attached to that either.
Not to start.
Okay. So a lot of moving pieces here. After last night, TLC, where are you guys picking in this draft? Do you know? I could pull that up if you don't know. But
Tankathon will have that for me quickly.
Let's get over to Tankathon because
that's always...
I've got
reliable. I've got 21.
Okay. Yes, that's what I'm seeing as well.
It's interesting to me because I've been thinking about this idea of starting over at the quarterback spot for the Steelers. And this is going to be a bit of a tough one draft-wise considering the depth. But if you can bring in a veteran bridge quarterback, and develop Ty Simpson for a year or two, I actually think that could be, and he'll be around
at 21.
At 21.
Where didn't you guys pick Mason Rudolph? Who did you guys pick? No, Kenny Pickett.
Oh, yeah.
At 20 or 21?
22.
22 somewhere in that window. All right.
I was never on the Kenny Pickett small hands, by the way.
I think maybe there's a little bit, hey, Pitt, he's, backyard, one of our guys.
Throwing with gloves on.
Yeah, like, exactly. Teddy was the best at doing that, Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, I think it was a little bit more swag with him than...
Than the small hands. All right, a lot to unpack here. You're the Steelers fan. The playoff game last night, the breaking news right now, and if you're just now hopping in, Adam Schefter just reported minutes ago that Mike Tomlin is stepping down after 19 seasons in Pittsburgh.
First things first, if the Texans had a decent quarterback yesterday, they would have beat us by 50.
I agree with that.
That was so unbelievable how our guys on the interior were getting just pushed around.
Yeah.
They identified that at the end of the first half, late in that second quarter. They were starting to just run, and that was it. And that's all they needed to do because they could just march down the field. They had the six offensive linemen personnel, and they were just destroying us. And the Texans have a reputation for having a bad offensive line. So it's really disappointing how that kind of came together, especially with the end of the season. The Steelers won 3 out of 4. The Browns game was just weird. I know that the Browns have like an unbelievable defensive front, but even so, you don't want to lose to them. But the 3 out of 4 really gave me some positivity heading into the playoffs. And we were playing tough. We were doing the little things. We look good on special teams. We're finding guys like Malik Harrison and Ben Skowronek have been really good special teamers for us this year. So we're doing little things that make us look like a well-coached football team. And then we come out in our home field and just get destroyed. I don't want to say that undoes everything because at the beginning of the year, I would have been like super excited about getting rid of Mike Tomlin and restarting. But kind of being in the past few weeks, like actually being optimistic about Steelers football, not like unreasonable.
That was your problem.
It was just like, man, we look like a tough, well-coached football team. And we've had substandard quarterback play for a while. The back few years of Ben Roethlisberger when he had a really good arm, but he couldn't move. So if he had like any sort of cloudiness in the pocket, the play was just over.
It was a wrap. Yeah.
So, because he couldn't escape, he couldn't set up his own angles and adjust himself. And so, because of that, I heard that too. But we just haven't had, between the end of Roethlisberger and Kenny Pickett, the one game of Mitchell Trubisky, and now Aaron Rodgers for a year, we haven't had a really sort of solid, I guess, solidified quarterback.
Ceiling, quarterback. Yeah.
I know.
Nobody.
And so, because of that, we've just always kind of been in this purgatory, And that's like somewhat impressive that Mike Tomlin's been able to get us that far. But when you string together like a 10 to 15 year period where you got three playoff, I guess it would be 15 years now, where you got three playoff wins against AJ McCarron, Matt Moore, and Alex Smith. Really?
Man, you just,
it's tough.
Killed and two of my guys there, by the way.
After last night, it's now what, 7 years in a row, or seven playoff appearances in a row being one and done with Mike Tomlin coaching the Steelers in the postseason.
Yeah, it's just,
I know, it's a complicated thing.
It's been long enough.
I don't knock you at all for feeling that way. Let's continue this conversation in pre-snap reads because I have a question for you guys. If you're Mike Tomlin, do you even want to coach immediately?
We'll talk about
it. With the head coaching availabilities that are in the league at the moment. We'll do it next. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
Your mama say you ugly. Hey!
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey everybody, it's Berm.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
People warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Slight chance of showers as we go into the day, otherwise increasing clouds and highs in the upper 40s with breezy winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy with stray showers overnight, and breezy winds continue with lows into the upper 30s. And then for Wednesday, we hit our high into the low 40s earlier in the day with chances of rain and snow throughout the day and very strong winds with gusts upwards of 30 miles per hour. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, before we get into our pre-snap reads for today and the breaking news coming out of Pittsburgh, let me talk to you folks quickly about the wonderful folks at Bet365, because for new customers, they got a great deal waiting just for you where all you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is bet $5. After that, you're getting $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could take that $200 and turn it into something bigger and better when you bet on spreads, totals, player props, or money lines. I'm looking at Giannis tonight. They're taking on the Timberwolves. And Giannis to make 1-3 in the game is plus 140. So I'm rolling with the Greek Freak against what is a good Minnesota Timberwolves team. I don't think Ant-Man is playing in this one, so Giannis will have more range out there on the offensive end. So give me Giannis to make 1-3 tonight at plus 140. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
All right, if you're just now joining us, about 10 to 15 minutes ago, Adam Schefter reported breaking news out of Pittsburgh that Mike Tomlin, after 19 seasons, is stepping down as the Steelers head coach. Interesting nugget that we just found out about during the break is, since Mike Tomlin is leaving the organization, that means that the Steelers still retain his rights. And so the fact that he was not fired kind of throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into this thing. So maybe JP, it's a, he just chills out for a year, does some TV somewhere. But we could be talking about a world where the Steelers could trade Mike Tomlin.
First round pick.
Somebody could trade for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers could get some type of draft capital for him, the way that the Saints and the Broncos work things out for Sean Payton.
This is like trying to get a deal done with a guy that has a no trade clause. He's got to be willing,
got to be all in
to go.
Yeah,
because you're not going to trade for a dude who's like, no, I just stepped down from the last spot. I'll do it here. I'll do it again.
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. I think TV would be a phenomenal spot for him to hang out. And reading the tea leaves on some of the shows that are out there, the NFL shows. I love Football Night in America. Of course, I'm a company man with NBC. That would be something that I think they would be very interested in.
Okay.
Adding a guy like Mike Tomlin. I mean, yeah. Big name, just got off the field. It's kind of the mold of what they've done with NFL in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked to see him on a little football night.
I would be here for just hearing this man talk with some of the things that we've got to see, whether it's like Hard Knocks or when he's been wired to just, you know, in and out of the game. The guy is so entertaining.
Man. He is.
He's so great. Entertaining. He just seems like a great leader, mm-hmm. right? But I just think getting to pick his brain for an entire year, 2 years, whatever that may look like. Absolutely, I have to imagine whether it's NBC, ESPN, Fox,
somebody.
All of these people are probably lining up as we speak to talk to his agent about, hey, what does Mike want to do? If he's interested in doing TV, we'd love to have him. So I would not be surprised if that's the case. Going to break, I pose this question to you guys. If you're Mike Tomlin, looking at the jobs that are open at the moment, would you even want to coach immediately? Is there a job that you look at, JP, whether it's the Giants, the Falcons, the Browns? I don't think he would do the Ravens job, but I'm not going to completely put that to bed.
Yeah.
But because of the whole rights thing, I don't think that could be as clean as he would want it to be if he wanted to jump ship right now over there. But when you look at the openings, if he does want to get right back into this thing, is there a job appealing enough in your mind for Mike Tomlin, or do you think the path of what we just talked about with him doing TV would appeal more to him at the moment?
I think that might, the taking some time, maybe transitioning out of the game might be more appealing. The Giants stands out to me because you got a young quarterback,
yep.
but you've also got a really physical young running back, which I'm sure he would like. Mm-hmm. And you've got some dudes on that defensive front.
Yes, you do.
And he's used to having dudes.
Yep.
Up front, like that to me feels like he can go in and do his thing if he was going to get right back into it.
Correct. And we know that he hasn't minded over the years having a big time playmaker on the outside that, you know, maybe ruffle some feathers or be a diva. And look, Malik Nabers has been fine as far as that stuff goes. He's coming off a tough injury. But I think as far as appeal goes,
yes,
you could understand why that may be appealing for him right now. The other thing, too, is that if you're Mike Tomlin, and TLC brought this up, the last handful of years, you haven't had a quarterback that's going to provide a lot of runway for you as a head coach. And so I'm sure Mike Tomlin, the scouts, and all the assistants have been doing their homework on the guys that are supposed to come out next year. And so if you're Mike Tomlin, maybe sitting back for a year, looking at the college landscape and how those guys are going to develop, but also what the league is going to look like next year as well, and saying, okay, whoever's picking 1 through 5, that may get Julian Sand or Arch Manning or Lenore Sellers, whoever's going to be the dudes at this point in time next year, that's what I would want if I were Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
To go into a building every day with a guy that's young enough and to know that I don't have to switch gears and change lanes every offseason as far as going to the most important position.
I'm totally there with you. And that's one of the more interesting things, I think, just generally as a talking point here, is who's going to be okay with a little tanking next year because of the guys that you mentioned, Arch Manning, CJ Carr. You got Julian Sand in the mix. Josh Hoover is transferring to Indiana.
Yeah.
He's going to be developed, become a really good player. How do you feel about a Jaden Maiava type? Like, you go down the list, mm-hmm. and Lenora Sellers, like, there'll be dudes.
Yes, there will be dudes. And look, if you're an owner, imagine kicking off a year that way with, hey, at that press conference, we got Mike Tomlin, and we got this young quarterback to start this new era for whatever team you're representing.
Selling tickets.
That's a win all day and tomorrow right there. So now that Mike Tomlin is removed from the Steelers equation, we were talking during the break, this Steelers roster right now,
yuck.
How appealing is it really? Because you've got an aging defense.
Yeah.
You have one playmaker or two. I like Jaylen Warren and DK. I like those guys there. But there isn't a lot where, like, hey, I'm just jumping over there to Pittsburgh. The history is there. The ownership, you got to respect and love for sure. But as far as the talent, Joshua, where are you at with this Steelers roster and how sexy that may or may not be for some of these candidates that are looking for a head coach job?
It's an interesting thing, right? Like, Cam Hayward was leaving Ohio State while I was still in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, guys played for a forever. Very long time.
Yeah.
You know, you start looking at a TJ Watt, and I know the lung thing was kind of out of his control. The Watt brothers have been known for some soft tissue injuries. They like to lift a lot. So are you concerned if he's not there, how productive are you going to be on defense? You mentioned some of the offensive questions. The roster to me isn't the most appealing from these openings. However, this is an organization that has adults in the room. Yep. They have a front office that acts like grown-ups. Their ownership supports everybody in the building. They've got a great fan base. Like, all of the stuff that you would look for in an organization is why you would want to go there.
Yeah.
But then you're like, how the hell do we flip this roster? Right. So I got some guys that I want to roll
with. I know, because, again, we talked about where they're supposed to be picking at 21. Maybe you like a guy like Ty Simpson. Maybe you like somebody else. Who knows? And then you look at the free agent market at the quarterback position, and here are some of the names. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's Russell Wilson. It's Daniel Jones. It's Tyrod Taylor. It's Kenny Pickett, Jimmy Garoppolo, Case Keenum, Trey Lance, Carson Wentz. You get the point.
Three of those guys we have already tried.
Correct.
I heard Kenny Pickett. I heard Russell Wilson. I heard Aaron Rodgers.
And so even if you go down that path, there's not a guy right now that's going to bring you that right now success, but that probably isn't the worst thing for a team that needs to bottom out for 1 year.
Yeah.
They need to.
But I guess that does become the question is, like, do you feel like Ty Simpson or even a Trinidad Chambliss, somebody who would be available in that range, is your developmental guy, and you'll say screw it and trot one of these old dudes out there who can coach them up but not win you a ton of games so you can get the picks? Or are you just like, we'll let Will Howard do it for a year, and then we'll bank on whoever's coming in the next class?
Maybe so. Door number two here could be, JP, do you send maybe some draft capital over to San Francisco and say, can we get Mac Jones?
I don't know, man.
But see, here's the thing. If you do that, one, I don't like giving up draft capital for Mac Jones. And two, I believe if you do hand the keys over to Mac Jones, you're going to be in the middle again.
Yep, that's the issue.
Because he'll win you 7, 8, 9 games. Right.
You're not going to be...
I think he could, yeah.
Maybe.
I've got to take about...
Is Kyle Shanahan coming with him?
Probably not. Here's my take.
Probably not.
Bill Belichick, right? When he got the job at UNC, the thing that I pointed to was he took Mac Jones and made him the worst that we've ever seen him, right? So if you have a competent coach, I think he can get you to 8, 9 wins.
But they don't need that.
That's what you're trying to avoid. They got it. At that point, you'd rather bottom out.
Right, so I would just eat a crap sandwich for a year. And try to pick as high as possible.
Yeah.
Because if they stay, it doesn't matter who your head coach is, right? I think Mike Tomlin's a really good coach.
Sure.
You get the next guy to come in, and I don't know if it's McDaniel or Harbaugh, whoever it's going to be, if they have a guy that is going to have them win 8, 9 games, you're not going to be able to reach the peaks that they need to get to or get back to where they were years ago. So, yeah, interesting scenario. The breaking news coming out of Pittsburgh moments ago was Mike Tomlin is stepping down after 19 seasons. So now TLC, we're at 9 openings in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
9 openings in the NFL. And I think the Steelers probably rank around 7? 6 or 7?
God.
I did not do that on purpose. But I mean, like, right? Do you disagree real quick?
No, it's not that appealing.
I don't know, man.
And we're talking there's no way Aaron Rodgers wants to come back without Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
I question if Cam Hayward would want to just because of the age, and he's also the best player on the defense.
I feel like we're underselling the stability of that organization, the maturity. Coaches love that kind of stuff.
No,
They'll figure out the players.
Right, and the kind of an ownership that'll stay out of your way.
Yes.
I totally get that, but I just think as far as assets go, JP.
For sure, it's tough.
It's tough. It's a tough spot
for them. But somebody's going to roll the dice on that organization.
The Blue Jackets are rolling the dice on a new head coach. Jean-Luc Grandpierre joins us next in 2 minutes to talk about that. We're Rothman and Ice.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Your home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Rossmann and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Anthony used to ski in his jeans? Are you serious? No, he's not from New Jersey. Back to Rossmann and Ice.
Welcome in. Busy, busy day around these parts in the AFC North with the Mike Tomlin news. And over there at Nationwide with the Blue Jackets making yet another move at the head coaching position. We're lighting up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline to bring on the hyphenator Jean-Luc Grandpierre. Jean-Luc, it's been too long. How you been, sir?
It's been good. Yes, it's been too long, unfortunately, but glad. It's a pleasure for me to be on the air today with you guys.
We really appreciate your time, as always. So let's go back just a little bit because, you know, Dean Evason, obviously we know now the news about him. And one thing that's really jumped out as far as why maybe coach or Don Waddell in the front office decided to move on was the team not closing out games. And Jean-Luc, from a player's perspective, just talk about how tough that can be, but maybe some of the responsibility those guys should take on for that as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a split, right? You can never, in sport, I mean, especially in a sport like hockey or football, you cannot replace 20 guys or 22 guys instantly when you need something or you're not satisfied with the results, with what you're seeing on the ice. And in Don Waddell's case here, one, you have to give him credit because, I mean, it's a pretty quick turnaround to change coach here after, a season and a half under Dean Evason to make the swift decision that you don't like what you're seeing and make that change. It takes a lot of guts. I can't even imagine the conversation. You're a new GM, you come in, you hire your coach, and you got to go back to ownership, less than two seasons after the hire and say, hey, you know what? This is not the guy. We need to make a change. So you have to give them credit for that. But also, they didn't meet the expectation, right? The goal is making the playoffs. And out of all the seasons so far, we're more than halfway through. And you look at the Eastern Conference, and it's still very reachable, although you sit in last place. So that's why they decided to make the move. But I'm not going to lie about it. I was pretty surprised when I saw the news yesterday afternoon.
So when Rick goes in the dressing room, he's addressing the guys for the first time. What do you think job number one for him was in terms of talking to this team?
I think it's such a short term thing right now for the game tonight. I don't think you're going to see any big adjustment aside from, the effort, right? The consistency, mistakes will happen because I don't think he has enough time to implement really his system right away. I think he came in literally this morning. So as a player, you're basically, it's kind of like back to scratch, right? This guy doesn't know me. He doesn't know you. And you try and make a good impression. And sometimes that's the best way to get result out of the players is when there's some kind of fear or some kind of like, hey, let me show you what I can really do type of attitude from the players. So what he can do today, it's going to be hard to really implement something, but I think in the coming weeks, you'll have a little bit more time to really, first of all, know the players, what kind of personality they are, what makes them tick, what makes them, go, what makes them, not respond so well. and implement an actual system that you think will be able to address the defensive problems.
Blue Jackets broadcaster Jean-Luc Grandpierre joining us here on The Fan. Jean-Luc, let's talk about this young core, because I think, you know, some of the Blue Jacket fans that I've talked to, there's belief that in time these guys are all going to come together and really get things rolling. Of the guys in the young core right now for you, who's really a guy that you feel like his development is on the right track to be a no-doubt key playmaker for years to come?
On the right track, I think Benton Mateychuk has proven that, you know, this is kind of like his first full season. I think he's been probably the most consistent young guy, you know, in the organization with the Blue Jackets anyway. Jet Greaves, I took no time to realize what he was going to be, and you haven't seen his performance dipped. Adam Fantilli is a guy that they're really counting on. It's been up and down for Fantilli this year. My only one that I have a real concern about right now is Kent Johnson. And I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of change of coach from management, they're looking and they're like, okay, we have all these older guys. Okay, they're fine. We have a bunch of free agents. We don't know who we want to bring back, but let's see, what is our base, right? It's Sillinger, it's, you know, Greaves, it's Fantilli, and it's Kent Johnson. And after a fantastic season last year, Kent Johnson really took a step back, and it's kind of hard to explain what it is. So maybe, they hope that with the new coach, Rick Bonus can kind of get Kent Johnson going again, because you're looking at the league now, and it's a young men's league, and you got all these young guys that were drafted, you know, with the Fantillis and the Kent Johnson all over the league thriving and, you know, basically being the, you know, head of their team, not only in scoring, but being leaders, right? They have letters, they're captains, they're assistant captains. And for Kent Johnson, it's a little bit of a concern, there's no doubt.
So taking a big picture look at the Blue Jackets, and over the last few years, you've seen coaches cycle in and out. Obviously, they're trying to develop these young players and get this roster into a place where they feel absolutely fantastic about it. If you could snap your finger and one thing changes within the organization, what would be the biggest thing to approach there?
Oh, boy. Snap me. I wish I could answer that one. I'll tell you. First of all, so now this is, I think that makes it the fifth coach in the last 5 years. One of the things that would be concerning for me as an organization is I'm having these young guys. We talked about Fantilli, Kent Johnson, you know, Mateychuk coming up. And these guys are literally seeing a new head coach every single year, right? Mm-hmm. And you're looking at the growth of a player, anybody who's been in sport, you know, they ask you for consistency and continuity, and you're not giving that to these young players because you're changing, their teacher every single year. And that's the key. They always say the NHL is not a teaching league, right? You should learn in the American League. If you're in the NHL, you're there to perform. Well, unfortunately, you still have some young guys that need to be taught some stuff and need to learn. And now they're hearing all these different voices from season to season. So, you know, for me, I would say that's probably the one thing that I would like to see stabilized a little bit more. But it's a fine line, right? Because you're not getting the results, and people are growing impatient, right? This is the 25th year of the Blue Jackets, 25th anniversary, and they're not where they want to be. So, unfortunately, I can't snap my fingers and say the one thing, but I think consistency, is a good starting point.
Jean-Luc, we'll get you out of here on this one. Looking at the schedule ahead, they've got a lot of home games on deck. How do you feel about maybe, could that be an advantage for everybody settling in and getting to know each other and the new head coach coming in and the players getting to know him, being at home for a while? Do you look at that as a benefit for the crew over there?
Yeah, it's a big, big plus, right? I think, first of all, for the new head coach, Rick Bonus, he wants to, learn about the players. You get more practice time. With the condensed schedule, with the Olympic break coming up in like 3 weeks, the NHL to compress all these games back to back, and there's really no time for practice, right? There's really no time to practice between travel, and guys need to recoup. And they haven't had a chance to run through true practices. So in this stretch here, they're going to be home. There's going to be plenty of practice time. So that's when you can really teach, right? And reinforce the good habits and kind of get rid of the bad habits. You can't do that during the game. So, I mean, I think they'll be okay. So that's going to be the key here for this team, is really being able to practice together and the coach making those adjustments, and hopefully you're a quick learner and can apply those results.
No doubt. John Luke, we really appreciate your time, especially on a game day and so much happening around the franchise. Thank you so much for that, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, before I go, Joshua, you there?
Yes.
Hey, congratulations on that national championship, brother.
Oh, this is going to be a bit. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That's amazing. He's Jean-Luc Grandpierre. We appreciate you, man. Have a great day. Thank you.
See you guys.
That's awesome. For the folks that don't know, real quick, explain why he said that to you at the end.
Oh, man. So I was filling in on Common Man and Timmy and Jeff Rimmer. When I was doing the interview, asked me I asked the question. He said, oh, before I get into the answer, hey, congratulations on winning that national championship. And Timmy's like, that was 12 years ago. And he was like, I haven't seen him in 12 years.
Oh, my goodness. So, that's amazing. That is incredible. Shout out to Jean-Luc. Shout out to Jeff Rimmer.
So good.
We'll hit the finish line of the show next with Tell the Truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Men, it's the new...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gouty gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right. TLC's been a busy day for a two-hour show, man. We had a lot going on, but it's been fun, that's for sure. Take us home, man. What do you got? And tell the truth.
All right. Just still reacting. I would like to make a declaration. I would not trade Marcus Freeman to my other favorite football team.
Ooh.
I'm letting that be known right here, right now. I don't care what happens. I would much rather have Marcus Freeman in South Bend than I would in Pittsburgh.
What about a Kurt Cignetti? He's a Pittsburgh guy.
Oh, well, you had me until we started talking geography. I hate when people do that.
Come on, man.
Oh. So when I was doing radio in St. Louis for a couple years, whenever there was free agency talk, it was so much of just like, let's get the band back together. Just the names. Let's get that guy who played in St. Louis 6 years ago. Bring him back. Guy who played here for Tommy Pham. What's he up to?
I'm just acknowledging that the greatest college football coach of all time is also from Pittsburgh. And the steel shop is open.
Come well, on. We got as far as Pittsburgh goes.
They win Monday.
As far as Pittsburgh goes, we got a lot of options when it comes to regional coaches. Mike McCarthy being one of them.
Yep.
Not that I'm super thrilled about that.
Yuck.
I'm very excited about the opportunity to have three new coaches. Head coach, DC, OC.
Yeah, so cleaning out for sure.
We'll figure it out.
How you feel about, let's say, Robert Saleh, Brian Flores, Jesse Minter?
Jesse Minter, maybe. Although, okay, so I did see that Greg Roman was fired by
the
Chargers, which means I got to make sure that John Harbaugh takes him before Jesse Minter takes him, because we're about to have a universe where we have two Harbaugh brothers who are both head coaches. We're about to have Mike McDonald in Seattle as a head coach, and Jesse Minter is going to be a head coach, which means there are going to be four coaching staffs that are all just trading coaches together the entire time. As long as I can make sure Greg Roman doesn't end up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I would.
Because it's going to be more of just what I watched all season long. Six O-line sets.
three tight ends.
Three tight ends.
Yeah, not a fun watch.
No.
Not a fun watch. That is for sure. But yeah, to me, like, JP, Brian Flores feels like a Steelers head coach. Even Robert Saleh. Like, guys that have that type of identity and edge to them.
Here's my thing about both of those guys,
feel
though.
Like a Steelers head coach. Not that it's the right call.
And even Jesse Minter. I think in order to have a defensive-minded head coach, you have to have a quarterback who is set in the league already. Because I don't want to play this game, and this is assuming success.
Right.
But I don't want to play this game.
We're
trying to develop a quarterback and then changing his OC because the OC played himself into a head coaching job somewhere else.
That's a great point.
Thank you. Whoa, hey. Good day for me.
No, it's real. Like, I'm with that where, like, you'd rather have the guy who's, like, it's just his offense when you got the young quarterback because they're going to steal your guy. If he develops the quarterback, they're stealing him.
Okay. So you're saying that you want, like, a Ben Johnson type?
That's what you, I think,
Pittsburgh,
they should approach.
To pair with a young quarterback.
Yes.
Because the head coach prior to that was it Nagy? It was Eberflus.
He was ass.
Right? And that was it. Yeah.
He's a coachy coach, defensive, knock him through the white kind of.
Yeah.
That doesn't help Caleb.
And some of the reports that were coming out of that.
He also got fired in Dallas as DC this year. So he's not very good at that job either.
It's an antiquated system. I played under him.
Post Eberflus, it was like, hey, nobody's even showing Caleb Williams how to watch film. Like, none of these things.
Yeah.
That was happening under his watch.
That was like what was happening up at Michigan with Bryce Underwood. They didn't even have a quarterback.
You have that sound real quick? Or actually, you know what? I might have that sound. I can pull this up since you mentioned that. So Kyle Whittingham was on the Triple Option podcast with Urban Meyer. And you touched on it. New head coach up there for the Michigan Wolverines had this to say about Bryce Underwood and his lack of development last year.
So Bryce Underwood's coming back. Was it a struggle to keep him, or was he pretty much, let's go, man?
You know, it was pretty much let's go. You know, there was, maybe a little hesitation until he got to know me and the rest of the staff. But once he got to know us, it was on a good trajectory from that point. And then he announced, of course, several days ago and really helped our recruiting when he announced. And it was a stabilizing factor for us.
So I played the wrong one. Let's try this again. Here's the right one.
First of all, from what I understand, there was no dedicated quarterback coach working with him on a daily basis, which has to happen.
Wow.
I mean, there's some things in the throwing mechanics and the just things to smooth out in his fundamentals and technique, and we're already got a good start on that. And Jason Beck and Coy Detmer, outstanding quarterback developers and coaches, and so we're already going down that path. He's the whole package. We just got to get him refined.
All right, Joshua, so tell the truth. How much of a swing and miss is that from the previous regime up there in Michigan?
I mean, I guess Sherrone was a little busy when he was trying to hire his staff. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And the way that they had it was their offensive coordinator, Chip Lindsey, was offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. But Sherrone's a front guy, right? So, like, he's not even... So, when you bring in a new OC, like, he's literally doing the offense. He's not even worried about his quarterback at that point.
That's crazy.
And so, you've got a freshman who looked like he regressed by the end of the year because there's not a dude who's just with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy is doing other stuff for the offense.
And there's been so many times where I've been sitting here listening to a Coach Day press conference and he's honing in on the fundamentals,
right?
Whether it's their base, with their arm slot, wherever that is. And the fact that Bryce Underwood wasn't getting that day in and day out, like, I don't care who you are, even the guys that are best in the league that do this at the highest of levels talk about how much they focus in on the fundamentals of the position.
It's wild. Like, Ohio State's got Billy Fessler, and they love him. All the guys have talked about him. And it's important that they have a guy like that in the room. If you're Michigan, you're maxed out on guys who can go out and do the recruiting thing, that's fine. You literally have somebody, though, in that room every damn day on staff. That's with Bryce, period.
Yeah, because he's got the goods.
Sure.
He's got the goods to play at a decently high level at this level at collegiate football. We'll see if it all comes together. But Kyle Whittingham, we talked about him when he got hired. He's going to be a guy that wants to build off the line of scrimmage. I don't think he's going to put too much on his plate next year as far as him having to throw the ball a ton. And so Bryce Underwood may be going into a situation where he can play off, play action, throw into some clean windows, and all those things.
All right, we didn't get one this week, but here's what you missed, JP.
You played. Think about that, by the way. You played, man. Think about it. You played, man. Come on, dude. You played the game.
Here's the thing, though.
We got one.
We got one from him yesterday.
We did?
Yeah.
Did I miss it?
Yeah. We got a you guys
you,
play.
Yeah, you guys played
you
the
guys.
Game.
Yeah. Yeah,
we got both yesterday.
I must have missed this.
No, because when he said it, You didn't react because I looked at you.
I didn't. Oh, we locked
flew
eyes
over my head.
If you go back to Fitzy's interview from yesterday, you will get a you guys play.
He was so locked in on beefing with Adam King that he forgot to perk up.
Have you guys made up? Have you guys made up yet?
We did have a shut up call when there was just a dead silence between the two of us back there.
Okay, you should make
that
up.
That happens on any day that ends up.
You guys should kiss and make up.
Make up.
And then we also got this today.
Tybone and Tevis. Shout out to Tybone and Tevis. JP, shout out to you for filling in, man. TLC, great job on the board, folks. Thank we you. Love you. Stay safe out there. Stay warm. Common Man and Timmy will take you to 6 o'clock with Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.